Are you hitting up Craigslist for like trainees and stuff?
No, for like writing jobs.
Oh, jobs.
Right.
Not trainees.
Jobs, not trainees. That's correct.
I think that was Obama's platform last time, right?
Yeah. He was here yesterday, apparently, with a big Clooney $40,000 a plate dinner.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I'm surprised you weren't there, dude.
Yeah.
Now, it was a bit of a panic. I was driving home at like 6, and I was like, it was actually really easy. I think he was about like a mile further north, like in Beverly Hills-ish, over the hill or whatever, and I was just on the other side of that, all that, so I didn't have to worry about it. So that was good. So this is going to be one of the fake feudal podcasts, right? Because
yeah, this is not a real number. This is
it's not 301. This is the Pilas. This is Pila 2. Okay. So we're going to talk about the Avengers tonight. Okay. Have you seen all the other Marvel movies?
I sure have, buddy. I've even seen the old Captain America from 1989.
So have I, yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I haven't seen that.
I've actually seen it. I haven't seen the second Ghost Rider movie.
I did see the David Hasselhoff, Nick Fury movie.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice. Did they have the helicarrier in that?
The whole movie was set on the helicarrier.
Oh, awesome. I bet.
It sucked.
And did it?
It was a bad movie, yeah.
That's too bad. I'm surprised. Hasselhoff is Nick Fury. That seems like an interesting choice.
It was good.
So this is the big lead up. They started setting the groundwork for this since the first Iron Man movie, which came out in like, what, like 2008 or something?
Sure.
Okay, yeah, that's fine with me. So they've had two Iron Man movies, Captain America, Thor, one of the Hulks tied into it, the Incredible Hulk, the one with Norton.
Yeah.
They all kind of started to kind of loosely connect and do character work, all building towards this big, they get them all together and have a big action story, blah, blah, blah. And for the most part, I'd say that that's exactly what this movie is that sort of setup.
Hey, just so you know, Iron Man was 2008.
Ah, that's what I said. I got it right. How about that?
You did.
Oh, that's always nice.
Pat yourself on the back.
I will. Definitely.
With a woman.
Pat myself on the front with one of those. Here we go. The one thing that they didn't have with these Marvel movies was like a consistency of like a creative force. There wasn't like one writer writing all of them or one director kind of overseeing them, even if like he was just directing one or two and producing the other ones. It was all very kind of, I mean, I guess you could say like that Marvel had their people behind, you know, making sure this all worked a certain way, but you did have an interesting collection of directors with Jon Favreau doing the Iron Man movies, Kenneth Branagh doing with Thor, and so on and so forth with all the other guys. And then that it ultimately kind of leads to sort of a, I don't know, I don't know what you'd call him, but I mean, kind of an auteur taking over and doing the final piece, you know, with Joss Whedon writing and directing and Zach Penn contributing story elements
to it.
Well,
it's by no means a final piece.
Well, okay, but I mean, like, it's the penultimate or whatever.
It was the culmination of all the previous work, probably, but...
Yeah. So, I mean... Really, what he had to do was pretty difficult. He had to kind of make all of these characters and all of this stuff that had sort of sustained full movies work together in a way that like had like a narrative cohesion and also felt like it was something worth watching and wasn't just, you know, pointless.
Yeah.
I'd say that for the most part, he was, you know, it was because it was such a, you know, monumental undertaking, it was reasonably successful. In some respects, there are about three things I would have changed, and I'm just in looking at the story and at the way that the movie broke down, I have a feeling that there was probably a lot of pressures on him as a director or just for the story in terms of like keeping all those people, all those big name actors,
right?
Because like there was a lot of time put into Black Widow and Hawkeye. And those are characters that would be better suited for, like, a subplot to the second Captain America movie.
Well, but I can see why the reason they... I mean, everyone else had already kind of had their moment
sort
in the sun.
Sort of.
And Black Widow was just kind of a side character who's motivations were not fleshed out at all in the Iron Man 2 movie.
Right.
Hawkeye was just kind of there, you know, just kind of there in the fourth movie. I actually, that was the thing that impressed me most, was not only did they, I felt, you know, my issues with the Captain America movie.
Right, exactly.
I mean, it's still, that character still has the same lack of gender.
Absolutely.
And caring about the country, which was obviously a very calculated thing by the studio, because they, you know, you don't want to, considering how much the foreign markets mean to them these days, you're not going to have just a chest beating, you know, jingoist American like that. So, but this time around, the character works way better because he truly is the fish out of water now, who's polite to a fault and you know, basically a man out of time, you know, very literally. And because of that, he just works as a better piece of the whole thing. You know, where in the first one, you're spending the whole time in his actual era, and it's, he's just boring, I felt like.
Right.
Anyway, I was just waiting until you said something so I could interrupt you.
Nice.
Furthermore, so...
That was good that you did that.
You're able to... you're getting the motivation of just about everybody in there. I mean, you still don't have a personal motivation for Nick Fury, but everyone else has their own little, you know, they have arcs and they have character and personality. And Iron Man is already a very well developed character. Mm-hmm. Thor is about as developed as it's going to get. I think that they probably spent the least time worrying about Thor's.
I think that they didn't. That was probably the strongest, because in the Thor movie, I think his character worked the best. The arc of the Thor character in the movie was good. Just like the Iron Man movie was good. There was more to do with him, and they did a little more with him in this one.
They did. And
they probably did too much.
Yeah, well, they gave him the thing where, like, I mean, it was as simple as saying, you know, each one of them is there complaining about each other's problems. Their faults and everything. Like, you know, his was as simple as the whole laying down his life for another thing. I mean, so there's obviously the fact that they're able to keep the Tony Stark character as self-absorbed as he is, and still able to show him making strides in every single film so far has been pretty impressive. Like his character does expand and develop and become like a better person by slight increments every single time. The Thor one, though, I mean, they pretty much went through his arc in that first film.
Absolutely.
And so now he's just like, he was just kind of there. Not that I don't dislike the character, and, you know, he obviously serves a purpose in that the fact that, like, he's the only one who can, like, really physically handle Loki until, you know, the Hulk comes into play and all that sort of thing. But there's just not a lot of time to spend on all these guys. You can understand. I mean, I really think, considering it's already a 2.5 hour long film, they really did just about as well as they possibly could with you know, having that many people, that many characters,
right?
And you know, giving them all time to play and breathe like that. I don't know. I was extremely impressed. I mean, after the whole thing is said and done, I'm probably more impressed with Whedon than anything else, just because, you know, it's obvious that this dude can handle anything.
It seems to be the case, I think. I don't know. There was a lot of the Whedon jokey stuff for the characters. He's kind of a Sorkin. You know, everybody he writes sounds like, and kind of a Smith. There's kind of a similarity to the character behavior for all of them, whether it's appropriate or not. And in some cases, it's acceptable and it works. Here's where I take issue with
I don't agree with that at all, but go ahead.
Okay, well, we can get into it in a sec. But, I mean, the two things I wanted, especially, I mean, and part of it is, you know, seeing people talk about, oh, my God, the Hulk, this is the Hulk's movie, great. I'm like, okay, cool, I can get behind that.
Yeah.
And so then I sit down to watch it. And I'm like, okay, so there's going to be some good, like, good character stuff and some interesting, cool stuff with Hulk, with Banner. And they hint at that, and he just kind of drops the ball. And then the other side of it is, like, really, this is kind of Captain America's movie, too. And they sort of drop the ball there, too. Like, if they had a scene early on in the film with, like, Captain America, like, walking through the new Brooklyn, you know, like compared to the Brooklyn from the first movie, and seeing the way things are different, and like maybe even getting hassled from that same cop that gives him shit later. Like, that could have kind of demonstrated more directly, would have at least addressed this man out of time thing. He calls Black Widow ma'am, and other than that, there's really not much else going on there with him being, like, struggling with the modern era or anything. And that would have been good. I would have liked to see more with him and that character, and give him a little more of an actual arc, because I don't think he has an arc.
Well, but he doesn't have so much of an arc in that as the fact that he's, and I think he ends up having to kind of prove himself to everyone because they're always, you know, they even question a few times, what's your role even, you know, and like, what can you do aside from call people man, basically. But he's the Boy Scout and he's, you know, I don't know.
Right, and it could have demonstrated that a little. It could have demonstrated like the juxtaposition of the modern society with this.
Well, I'm pretty sure that that's a answer. For Captain America too.
I would have liked to have seen some of that in this. And at the I feel like it could have been at the expense of the overlong scene with Black Widow when she gets interrogated, mm-hmm. or you know, some of those other things that could have gone. And then the other thing that would have been fairly easily dealt with, because there was already scenes there where it could have happened, is addressing the idea, because the thing about Hulk is that Hulk doesn't really win for me or become compelling for me, which is why the TV show was something I kind of enjoyed as a kid but could never quite get behind until Banner deals with, you know, really faces the Hulk as being part of him. And it's all set up really well in this movie.
Well, and then happy with it?
No, that's not it. The thing is, it's set up in the movie. I mean, Ruffalo is calling him the other guy, right? Yeah. You know, what if the other guy shows up or whatever? And in that scene with
Ruffalo
with
was good, right?
Ruffalo was good.
I like it.
In the scene with Tony Stark, where they're talking, like, it would have been a good time for Stark to make the point, like, it's not another person, that's you. And start laying the groundwork for the fact that he won't really be able to control the Hulk till he accepts the fact that the Hulk is who he is. Not entirely, but like that's not another guy, that's you. Conquer these things till you take responsibility and you kind of find the onus. Well, and then that inexplicable scene, let me just finish this line of thought. But the inexplicable scene with Harry Dean Stanton that was kind of funny, like that would have been another great point. You know, Harry Dean Stanton could have been like, you know, like some reformed alcoholic that could have talked about that. Because the whole thing is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It's all about like a guy is nice one way and then when something happens to him, he turns into a completely different person. And it's like, own up to it. Take responsibility.
Okay, but
show authority.
You're complaining about them not doing one thing when they did another, which worked just as well. Which was his constant complaint was that he didn't believe he could control it, and he knew that he, you know, would hurt people and kill people or whatever.
And he couldn't control it until he all of a sudden could when it was plot convenient.
Well, exactly. But that was after.
It was weak. It was weak.
Stark told him, you know, talk to him about that, you know, so.
Not really, no.
Oh, no.
He turns into the Hulk.
He talked to him about it in the ship, and he explains to him a long time about how the fact that everyone has it in them to be able to control whatever part of them they don't like or whatever.
Sure. And then he turns into the Hulk and goes crazy.
Which was a kind of a throwaway thing with the Harry Dean Stanton, but he's like, no, like, you know, you were awake when you came down here. Like, he kind of guided himself out of the way of where it would hurt anyone, which is, then shows him that he has control. I mean, it's a very brief way to do it, but in a movie where there are basically six main characters or whatever, you don't have a lot of options.
I think that
I think it worked well.
The things I mentioned about the Hulk would have required little to no extra scene time, and they would have like grounded that idea in there much stronger than if it was implied it wouldn't.
But you're talking about accepting who he is, and I don't think he's the character is stronger when he doesn't. Because that there's no conflict.
The character is not at all compelling, especially if it's inexplicable, which it is right now. Okay, because the first time he turns into the Hulk, it's because he, you know, falls through, like, you know, an explosion happens. And he can't control himself, and he's hurting good people. You know, he's trying to kill Black Widow. You know, a plane gets exploded and everything. So he does not have control over himself as the Hulk. He crashes, he wakes up, all of a sudden shit's happening, and then he does the next time. No, he's never had to address these concerns in any real meaningful sense. All these people, and I mean, like, okay, admit it. I'll admit it right now. I'll cop to it fully. everyone's talking about the Hulk was so awesome and the Avengers, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, really? Like, he finally, like, conquers the Hulk and uses it to do something awesome? And you can, and that's not at all what happened. And it was stupid. They could have done it. They could have set it up so easily. They put the groundwork in there to do it, to be like, you know, you have to figure out, you know, Banner, it's up to you to figure out how to deal with this.
He did.
And he just, he doesn't really, though.
Oh, because he didn't do
bitter
work?
Really. No, not because he didn't do bitter work, because it was just never addressed, like, how do you face this side of yourself? And, you know, it just wasn't addressed well enough. I mean, granted, there was elements of it that were brought up, but it just didn't work for me that all of a sudden he could control it when he needed to, but that first time he couldn't.
So you wanted a Merchant Ivory Avengers movie where everyone just works through their problems, and in the end, they're all in complete control of who they are, and then they no longer have the conflict that makes them compelling characters. That's what you wanted?
I want the conflict that makes them compelling characters to be addressed in such a way that they go through an arc that makes them even more compelling.
But not just
like that they can magically do what they do.
Because you're talking about there is a complete resolution of his issue.
It doesn't have to be 100% complete. It can be tacit. It can be. You know, you could still have.
Well,
you
this,
know,
this,
you,
was, you, this was pretty low key. I mean, this was the type of incremental thing you can do to a character to make it semi-believable that he could at least control himself in such a way that he could aim his rage toward, you know, something that he thought of consciously instead of the people that he knows as a human not to hurt, you know?
I just didn't buy it, because especially at the end when he's standing there with the rest of them as the Hulk, you know, it's like, either, it's one thing to say, okay, the Hulk is this, like, force of nature, and if you point it in the right direction, it will do it will work for you, like Godzilla or something. But that's not what happened in this movie. What happened in this movie is he's unable to control himself the first time, and he damn near destroys the helicarrier. And then the second time, he is able to fully control himself to the point where he can just kind of stand there in, like, pose mode at the end, and it doesn't seem to really matter. And in that sense, it's like, well, okay, what happened to him as a character? What happened to Banner as a person? What arc was going on there? And there was hints of things, but it wasn't satisfying to me. And that's all. But that said, like I said, you're dealing with a lot of characters. I think they could have done less with Stark, because honestly, like, he ate up a lot of screen time, and it's like, dude, you already had two movies. I would have liked more with Captain America and more with Hulk. I think that all of the S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff with and backstory stuff for, like, Black Widow and Hawkeye is good secondary plot stuff for a second Captain America movie. And you're right. You know, I mean, maybe Whedon needed to have his obligatory chick kicking ass, so that was why that was there. Or maybe Scarlett Johansson was like, I'm not going to be in this movie if I'm in it for 2 minutes. I need to have more of a role. And the same for Hawkeye and stuff. I mean, it's believable that they probably had a lot of egos they had to make happy on this. And I'm sure that Ruffalo was at the bottom of the heap there, and maybe even Captain America, because his movie was the last one to come out.
Right.
I don't know. Like I said, when I can envision things that could have been done and added, and things that could have been taken out, such that it wouldn't, like, make it a 5-hour-long movie, it just would have bolstered the storyline for me, and upped it, like, another half star to a star. I don't know. That said, there were things that did work for me, quite a bit of it did. Like, when they land on the aircraft carrier, I'm like, oh, no, helicarrier? Lame. And then, of course, you get the helicarrier. So that was, like, a fun little fanboy moment. Admittedly, I'm not a huge Avengers fan, though, and I think that part of the problem is that the Avengers is kind of a weird collection of people that don't really make a lot of sense together. Like the X-Men, you can see them being like a team. They're all mutants. They all fit.
Right.
But, I mean, there's an interesting roster, too. Like, you generally have the Giant Man and, you know, other people right. that weren't in this one. So, really,
well,
you had two humans
cool
that just wield guns and shoot arrows.
The cool thing they really did with that Ultimates thing, which, you know, they obviously kind of take and bastardize for this, with all the Marvel movies now, you know, they're kind of just making PG-13 adaptations and storyline modifications of what the Ultimate storylines are. But,
pretty much.
But, you know, in the case of this, it's like, you know, there's something compelling in the fact that it's kind of like a government mandated thing. And in this case, obviously, it's like, you know, they change that up. They they really kind of, the Nick Fury character is really very good when he's very shifty in the comics, and they play with that for a while, where to the point where, like, you know, none of them trust him, and he's making weapons of mass destruction, but it was always with a very good, at the very end, it's like, it was always with a very good,
or reasonable sensibility, like, yeah, we know they're aliens now, and they can overpower right. us if we don't, like, yeah. have this
and after all that, you know, he shows how really good a person he is by completely, you know, still giving up the technology and giving it back to Thor.
Right. Which I think was kind of a weak point to the ending.
But here's my point about all this. All that stuff is very crowd-pleasing, and this was by far the most entertaining and fun, and you know how much I hate the word fun, of all the Marvel movies so far. And I really enjoyed right. Iron Man, but there's, you know, in both those Iron Man movies, the final fight thing is stupid. And in this case, yeah. it was just so awesome. Like, I loved it. And Whedon is obviously smart with the fight stuff, but more so, he is able to incorporate humor into almost everything. And he's got a lot of the tension relief moments all throughout the film, you know, in a very, like, Spielbergian way, really, where there's, like laughs constantly throughout something that's supposedly tense. Obviously, this isn't as tense as something like Jurassic Park is supposed to be. But I don't know. I think that this was just a phenomenal superhero movie for the masses that did what it set out to do. And I wouldn't say it's the best thing I've ever seen. I still think there's a level of sophistication and maturity to The Dark Knight that probably will never be matched by another superhero or mainstream superhero film. I can't imagine, you know, unless the new
one. What about Man of Steel, man? Zack Snyder, Man of Steel.
He's got a lot of maturity yeah. and sophistication up his sleeve. And but this is the type of thing where that stuff really isn't necessary. And if you were to go that route, you might end up with another stupid, you know, Superman Returns situation.
Right, yeah, it'd be overwrought and not very much fun, as you like
yeah,
to say.
Yeah.
Here's what I'll say. I think the third act was solid. I agree with yeah. you there. The action was good. The characters were in position. Everything was great. For me, like I said, all those things I've mentioned about the Hulk and Captain America is all just character arc setup stuff that would have been in the first act and maybe in the second act for a little bit. And so those are things I just think if it had had those, I think it would have been more crowd pleasing because people love it when, like, you know, the character sort of has to sort of face a difference or a change or deal with being fish out of water. And those things could have been more explicit. And that they didn't do that, I think, is a weakness on the film. But like that said, like I said, third act is solid. The action is fairly solid. The logic and the plot is a little weak in the beginning, you know, and anytime you have the bad guy show up and then just, like, you know, hypnotize good guys to help him, like, that's pretty hokey old school stuff. But that's you know what? It is what it is. It's fine. So, yeah, I mean, I'd say that it's not my favorite of the Marvel movies, but it's okay. It's good. I think people that are, like, in the crazy, like, oh my god, it was awesome mode are going to see it again later and probably have a more tempered view of it. But, I mean, I'm glad for Whedon, and I'm glad that for Marvel that it kind of did well for them, and then they can kind of move on and continue to do whatever they're going to do with the franchise, and maybe they can get into some of that character stuff in a second one or whatever. And so that's kind of my piece with that, I guess.
Well,
I give it 3.5 out of 5.
I think you're dead wrong, but I don't think you're wrong in your rating. Though I'm definitely rating it higher. I give it a 4.
I'm dead wrong about what? About character?
I think absolutely dead wrong about the character thing. I think they really didn't give Captain America a lot, but I don't think it was necessary in this case because he already had the built-in fish out of water thing where people don't even trust that he can do anything. He proves very capable.
How did they really address that in the movie?
He's a commander and all that sort of thing, and you know, he starts ordering people around and he starts taking his place where he should, where it kind of seems like, you know, people question where he fits in the whole thing in a while. I mean, that scene where they're all arguing with each other was, I thought, pretty great because it gets into all the issues that people would have with
right.
General. And I think that the banner thing worked really well, and I think that is what made the end so awesome, was the fact that it wasn't a question of him coming to terms with who he was or anything. It was a question of the fact that the reason why he was so tentative to allow himself to transform was the fact that he just didn't trust himself out of that. He didn't trust that he could have any control whatsoever. And it was, what Stark basically tells him is that, you know, obviously there is no bitter work stuff, and he doesn't have a chance to show it except for the fact that he gets launched out of the flying aircraft carrier. And when, you know, all Harry Dean Stanton has to tell him is like, no, I saw you basically, you know, guided yourself here, kind of, you know, and that is all the confidence he needs in order to know that he can do it in the future. I mean, that's all the time they had to do, and that works, I think. I think that works really well. And if that's just a tiny part of him coming to terms with it, in every single movie he has a tiny part of him coming to terms with it, I guess. I mean, what else can you do? Because like I said, if you have big chunks of him working out who he is and everything, then very quickly you're going to come to the end of the Hulk storyline, which is, hey, I you know, have been able to completely rectify, you know, my anger and fix the situation, and I no longer care that I turn into this guy when certain things happen, and I'm in complete control. And then you're talking about bringing all the different colored Hulks, and
right,
there's just not.
You brought up a good point, which is the diminishing return at this point, at a certain point, with character development / like how many more movies can we squeeze out of this?
Their goal is, I mean, it's going to make more money than any movie ever, possibly, and because of that, you know, you want to crank out a second and a third,
okay, I guess we'll just play that game,
and they may be able to reboot the Hulk now.
Yeah. I mean, well. I guess. I mean, then what would they do? Well, they would have him.
Another Hulk thing. I mean,
yeah. I don't know. It's a case of me just being mildly baffled by the populace. I think, like I said, it's a 3.5 out of 5 because it accomplishes a good portion of what it sets out to do. It's not a particular. The editing is a little weird, and there's some odd camera work in the movie, though. Like, did you find that, like, he would hold on people, like, a little too long often?
No.
He would hold, like, on a face. He held on faces a lot, like for a 1, 2, 3, okay. And it's like, why are you doing that? but these are things I guess I'm just attuned to. I'm just sort of paying attention to all these different.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, I usually can tell if something like that is a miss, but and I didn't notice that at all. I did think that he fell into a little too much of the modern fight cinematography, which is instead of really worrying about choreographing it well, let's just do a really close up shot of them tussling and throw in sound effects noises, and that happened quite a bit, especially with Loki and Thor up on top of the Stark building. It was just really close shots of them kind of grappling and
right.
And there were probably punches and stuff in there, but you know, you couldn't really see it. But I mean, at a point that's okay. But I just that always bothers me. It's the green grass thing. I mean, and you refer to it like that because of him, because he did two of those movies. But Doug Liman did it really badly in the first Bourne movie, so you just can't tell what's going on with the shaky. I mean, there wasn't really a shaky cam in this, but. You know what I mean?
No, I don't remember feeling like it was terribly shaky. I felt like the, I guess the staging of the action, like I said, the third act is pretty solid. I felt like that was all pretty good. I mean, there was a few parts that were like, oh, look, we just need the spear, and it's down there. And then cut to 2 seconds later, and she's got the spear. So there wasn't, like, any last-ditch moment where she had to struggle to get the spear or whatever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know, like I said. I can't say much else. I wanted more from two of the characters that they just didn't give us. And in maybe in some respect, I was looking at this as, and you know, maybe we get at it like you're saying, you know, this isn't the final movie, and I'm like, yep. You know, you're right, it's not. But like it kind of, I don't know, it felt kind of like a big culmination. And then when I ultimately see it, it's like, nope, not really a culmination. There's Thanos. Okay, round two.
Yeah.
And so there we're at. I mean, it is what it is. Yeah, it's year 4. I'm a 3.5.
Did you watch the dark stuff after the credits?
Yeah, yeah, I watched all of it. I watched the thing with Thanos and then the part where they're eating the shawarma. And they just stay on it
yeah.
the whole time. Yeah, yeah, that was... I mean, like I said, I really like Firefly. I think Whedon could get away with his style for all the characters in that because it was a world he created and he kind of, you know, was like the overseer of that whole world.
I don't know about
but,
that.
But in this, I don't know. Yeah, he ratcheted his own stuff down to a degree.
Thing. I've seen a lot of Whedon, but
and
I
it worked with that. Iron Man.
I haven't seen. I've never watched Buffy, for instance. So like,
yeah, I never saw that.
So I mean, I don't know if I've ever noticed. I think I would have to see that to notice if he had a style, because I felt like the only thing he did particularly in Firefly and Serenity was the fact that he had a, you know, it was a very cowboyish.
Yeah.
Mixed, you know, obviously mixed with Chinese and space lingo, but I didn't feel like
he's written to talk this way
or anything like that.
He's big on the clever quips and stuff. His characters have a certain kind of bouncy. It's similar to a Sorkin, I think, quality to them. That I mean, he stayed away from that for Captain America for the most part, which made sense. But I mean, like Samuel Jackson saying, like, you let me know if you need a magazine or anything. I mean, like for Tony Stark, that fits the character. For like Hulk, it probably doesn't really. You know,
Samuel
you know
L. Jackson
like,
probably says stuff like that all the time on his own.
I'm sure he does. He's always asking people if they want magazines.
It's cool.
Yeah, yeah. And they're like, no, I have it on my iPod. And he's like, I didn't ask you about that.
I think a failing of a lot of other directors is they don't put like a button
their own stuff
like that. He's all. I mean, if it's his.
No, you're right. You're right. It's not the other. The other side would be overly dark.
Putting a funny button at the end of a tense dialogue sequence. That's what he. I mean. I really don't know if I would call that his thing, though.
No. Well, okay, yeah. Yeah, I guess there's not much else I have to say about it. I thought it was an enjoyable ride.
Yeah.